Chapter 19. We is a very little word, but a very important one in our study of the book of Acts. And it slips in the first time so quietly that we are in danger of passing it by. But somewhere along near the middle of the book, we find that the story is being told by someone who was present. Up to this time, he has been saying they. We are told that they returned from the Mount of Olives to the upper room. They prayed and were guided in selecting an apostle to take the place of Judas. They ate their bread in thankfulness and sweet fellowship. They went everywhere preaching the word. Then, without any flourish of trumpets, a new person enters the group of those whose story is being told. Instead of saying they, he now says we. Do not despise this little word. It is one of great importance, and the greatest scholars of the world have read the Acts of the Apostles with a magnifying glass, as it were, to find every time this little word we occurs. They are wiser men than we in some things, but not in their ability to find this word. We can find it wherever they have found it. It may be that we have been reading our Bible carelessly, yet sooner or later we shall notice that we have made this change. We read that we made a straight course across the sea to Samothrace, that arriving at Philippi, we were in this city tarrying certain days, and we went forth without the gate to the riverside, that we sat down and spake unto the women, that Lydia invited us to her home, and that we accepted. And we find the same word later on, and then it disappears, and we are told how they did things. And then after a while, we find the little word we again. We cannot overestimate the importance of this word in the book we are studying, and we shall do well to find it wherever it is. Let us find first where this word begins to occur. If we look very earnestly, we shall find it first in this verse, which is not quite halfway through the book of Acts. And when he had seen the vision, straightway we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel unto them. It will be better for each reader to take the New Testament and find this verse and see how the word we begins to appear. It will not require a very long search to discover it. It requires two or more persons to say we. Paul was one, but who were the others? We have only to look back a few verses to find who two of the others were. One was Silas, and the other was Timothy. We know both these men. Silas was the brave friend who was imprisoned with Paul and sang with him in the prison, and Timothy was the dear young friend to whom Paul wrote his last letter. So there were at least three who were to be included in this little word, we. But as we read farther on, we find that there must have been one other, at least, for we still find the word we when one or more of these three were not present. It may seem a small point to spend much time upon, but very many great men have spent many hours searching out the full meaning of this short word, and the search is very interesting and important. But we will not spend longer upon it. The word we, as first used in this part of the book of Acts, included four men, Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke. And it always means at least two, and those are Paul and Luke. Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke, these at the outset said we. They had come from different cities and through different experiences to this meeting at Troas, and it was a most interesting bond which united them and enabled them to say we. When did they first use the word and say, we will go into Macedonia? Paul told them his vision. Did he say, I must go into Macedonia, and did they volunteer to go with him? Or did he propose at the very outset that they should go together? However it came about, they walked up the gangplank of the little Mediterranean ship and said, we are sailing for Macedonia. They may not have hired the best stateroom on the ship, but they were cared for in some way, and they looked not unlike the other passengers, but the difference was large, and it consisted in that which enabled them to say we. That is to say, in those parts of this book that tell the story in the first person, we are to understand that Luke himself was present and saw what he was telling. And when the story is told in the third person, Luke was not personally present, but learned the facts from some of the other disciples. This distinction is so important that scholars agree in calling these portions of the Acts, which use the words we, the we sections. It will be seen, therefore, that we are not engaged in a trivial task when we seek out these uses of the little word. And now let us inquire about this man Luke, who uses the word we, and in that word includes himself as a companion of Paul. He was a physician. Paul appears to have been sick while he was in the region of Troas, and it may have been his pain and weakness that brought Luke to his side. Luke must have been a comfort to the weary and burdened apostle. He was an educated man, and so was Paul. He was a representative of the Gentile world, with which Paul was gaining a larger and larger sympathy. We are quite certain that Luke was not a Jew. Can we imagine what it meant to Paul to find in Troas this educated layman who proved at once a healer of his body and a companion for his spirit? Not many high, not many mighty had been chosen. Not many of the early Christians were Paul's intellectual equals, and most of them thus far had been Jews. Here was a man of intelligence, of insight, of faith, and of culture, ready to help him when he was sick, and to accompany him in his journeys to the ends of the earth. We do not know where Luke lived. Some scholars think that he was a Macedonian, and that he guided Paul's first journey there. The reason they think this is that he appears to have stayed in Philippi after Paul left that city, and to have been there still when Paul returned a good while later. They think that either this had been his home, or that he went to his home in some other city in Macedonia. But other people think he lived in Troas, where he first met Paul. We do not know. But we do know that he was a physician, an educated man, a brave man, and a faithful friend of Paul to the very end of his life. So far as we know, Luke never preached. There is a great need of preaching, but not all the disciples of Jesus are preachers. Luke practiced his profession and did good in the name of Jesus. But although he did not preach, he wrote. He had never seen Jesus, as far as we know, but he came to know so many people who had been intimately acquainted with Jesus that, after a time, he wrote to a friend of his, whose name was Theophilus, an account of the things he had learned about Jesus. This is the way he began his story of the life and miracles of Jesus. For as much as many have taken in hand to draw up a narrative concerning those matters which have been fulfilled among us, even as they delivered them unto us, who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having traced the course of all things accurately from the first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty concerning the things wherein thou wast instructed. He wrote the most beautiful book in the world. Beautiful as are the other Gospels, and each one of them has a beauty of its own, the story which Luke wrote to his friend Theophilus is in some respects the most beautiful of them all. For some reason, the other evangelists, each of whom gave us something that none of the others gave, did not record this beautiful story, and we should have lost it if it had not been for Luke. Men who are scholars tell us that Luke uses medical terms in more precise language than the other evangelists in describing cases of sickness. This is what we should expect from a physician, such as Luke was. There are many other interesting facts about the Gospel of Luke, and some interesting traditions about its author. There is an old tradition, which we do not feel sure is true, that Luke was a painter. And there are some old paintings of Jesus which it is said Luke painted, but this we do not think is true. The things we know about Luke are very much more important than those which some people guess. And one thing we feel sure about is that the same man who wrote the Gospel of Luke and addressed it to his friend Theophilus wrote another book. That other book begins, "The former treatise I made, O Theophilus, concerning all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was received up. After that, he had given commandment through the Holy Spirit unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs, appearing unto them by the space of 40 days, and speaking the things concerning the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, said he, ye heard from me. For John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days hence." This book also is addressed to Theophilus and tells us of a former treatise. This can mean no other than the Gospel of Luke, and the Acts of the Apostles were written by the same man. Now we see the importance of the "we" sections of Acts. In those, Luke is telling us things which he himself has witnessed. So we see how important in this book of Acts is the little word "we." The word "we" is always important. Good deeds are being done, but who is doing them? Is it they or is it we? With those who joint labor for the good of men and the glory of God makes possible the plural number. Are we so evidently and intimately associated that we can say "we"? Luke was able to say "we" in describing some of the most perilous adventures of the Apostle Paul. He was with him in the midst of mobs. He shared with him the fatigue of travel. He was present on Paul's last voyage and shipwreck. He attended him in Rome. Luke never was in prison, so far as we know. He did not preach nor expose himself to the fury of the enemies of Paul. But Luke was there to care for Paul in his imprisonment, and to bind him up after his scourgings and help him on his way. In the very last letter Paul wrote, urging Timothy to come and see him, and to come before winter if possible, he says, "Only Luke is with me." And Luke was with him to the end. Are we faithfully doing in some humble way the will of God and our Savior? Then our names belong to the company of those who can say "we." And to us comes the salutation by way of the Apostle Paul, "Luke, the beloved physician, saluteth you." Brave men and women have wrought through the ages for all the good that now is, and the greater good that is to be. It is possible to join their ranks and to speak of them not as they, but as "we." We may entitle ourselves to be part in all the glories for which the ages have been waiting. Those who have labored for these things are not merely they, for by our sympathy and fellowship in such labors, they are now we. There are high school and college yells which begin, "Who are we? Who are we?" And the askers of the above question answer it themselves by shouting in stentorian tones the initials of their school or the motto of their athletic team. Well, who are we? We are Paul and Luke and you and I and a large number of other people who are associated in the effort to make the world better. In the past, they did these things, but now we are part of the force working for righteousness. It is a large word, that little "we." Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke and you and I and a great multitude whom no man can number. We are working to bring in the kingdom of God. Luke was a Gentile, and so he was particularly interested in all that he learned about the sympathy of Jesus for the Gentiles. Luke told the story of the Good Samaritan. Luke told how Jesus sent out the 70 disciples, and just as the 12 were chosen for the 12 tribes, so the 70 were chosen for the 70 nations. Luke put into his gospel a great many little tender touches that show what a warm and sympathetic heart he had, and how God guided him through his own sympathies to record these words which Jesus spoke for all nations. And do you remember that the very sweetest of the parables is told by Luke alone? Do you know which parable that is? Turn to the 15th chapter of Luke, read this sweet story, and remember that, of the four evangelists, Luke alone records it.